Und gut, meine Gäste heute.
Monika.
An dieser Vokale. Apostle telling this session, the first meeting that we have in 2015. I want to welcome everybody. I'm hoping that all of you have prepared enough and you are ready to start the new year in 2013. Some people feel that 13 is an unfortunate number, but you can't have an unfortunate year the whole 365 days. It can't be right. So even if you think that 13 is an unfortunate number, but it can't be the whole year that is unfortunate. And I seem to suspect that this is the time that we're going to do a lot of what big, especially the members of parliament, because this is probably our last year where we're going to have a complete year. Because next year, the term comes to an end, and I'm sure we're going to be having elections and other things, and we're going to be very busy. So I suspect we are going to be very busy. I'm hoping that we have rested, and we have informed the doctor and the Department of Health that they must be ready to help all the members of parliament that are going to have high blood pressure, diabetes, all those things, because they're going to be very hectic here. But be it that may, let's prepare ourselves for working very hard, not for the different political parties, but for the people of South Africa, and make sure that the gap between the rich and the poor is closed, with the youth unemployment, and we make sure that the interest rate goes up. I must say, what has been coming for, since we are having the Department of Health, what we have been hearing is that the Department of Health has done well, especially in HIV and AIDS. And the fact that the department has managed to employ the CEO of hospitals that have got medical qualifications, that has given a lot of hope to South Africa that at least things are moving in the right direction. So we want to say to the department, keep it up. But we are not about that today. We are about something else. We are about amending the mental health bill. It's so unfortunate that even myself, I didn't go this distance, because I only came this morning. But I'm hoping that some of the members have read that, but we've got an idea of what we need to do. But in any case, we'll be listening from you department. As usual, I'll ask the members to introduce themselves before we start. As I said, I'm Dylan Kofana. I'm chairing this meeting for today. Not the answer for you, so that you introduce yourself.
I'm Edith Ngoza. Morning, I'm Denise Robinson. Rubella Makoshi from Khaled District.
Morning, Rubella Makoshi from Sister.
Morning. My name is Keto from the Mafeking in the Northwest Province. Thanks.
Good morning, Fanny. My name is Zubair Rahim. I'm the researcher for Food for Education Health.
Next to me, I'm sitting with. I thought we were going to see if she was going to see if I'm sitting here with me. I'm not sure there's a good thing that I still have here, but I still have it. And I think the other one that we still have here. But I never saw him during holidays with Joe Hatta. With Joe Hatta, I'm introducing him because you never know where does it belong to the department or to the politician. But I didn't make him introduce him. Okay, if you will give over to you so that you can tell us what. Do you want us to help you to amend this this mental health?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Mayor. I'm here with the team. The first thing I think that I'm going to introduce. The first thing is the team that is supposed to second one is mental health disorders, and the second is really assisting with the National Health Act. I'm here with me, and I've got two lawyers today. One lawyer is supposed to be dealing with the mental health community, and the other lawyer we've seen before. I'm here to address it. During my left, I got a female the chief director of the Center for Non-Community Protection, and she is fashion. I fall under the responsibility. And I also have our director who deals with the domestic violence. This is the baby, actually. It is competence, it's work. And I have a struggle to pronounce her feeling all the time, but I'm going to attempt. I always ask her a permission first. It's Zenga. It sounds more German than Slovakia. So this is the team that should be dealing with the mental health.
Are you suggesting that we must fire them? Those are not going to be doing anything. We don't want to listen to us. Our manager is not. Thank you. We'll give over to the Professor Friedman. I'm not sure that. I don't think I'm right, but I used to be told that if you specialize in a particular thing, it's because you have got something that is infected. No, I'm joking. Oh, okay, members, we're going to be dealing with amending the Mental Health Act. The Mental Health Bill. It's the act that we're going to be amending. So we are just going to be listening to them and then we interrogate them so that we will take over and make it our
Thank you, Honourable Members. The objective of this bill is to amend the Mental Health Act, which is the Act 2002. It's the Act of 2002, which was formulated mainly to make provisions to deal with the various functions. First, I just want to refer you to Chapter 2 of this Mental Health Act that we are amending. The Act actually provides for the regulation of mental health care. In another way, it allows for treatment and rehabilitation to be made available in South Africa in an equitable manner. It also allows for access to mental health care, treatment and rehabilitation. It allows for us to address the needs of mental health care users and also address some of the obligations that are in terms of that act, and to respect the rights of those who have a mental disability. It also provides for the regulation of the property of persons with mental illness. So these are the objects of this act. So what we seek to do here is to amend the act in such a way that there must be delegated functions so that we can meet the obligations that are outlined in the Mental Health Act. So the Director General of the National Department of Health has certain functions that are prescribed in this act. But for us to effectively implement the Act, we were requesting that there be an amendment that allows for delegation of some of the powers in the Act, so as to improve service delivery for those who require these services, mental health care. But there is also a need for the amendment to address the repeal that is provided for in Chapter 8. This chapter provided for hospital boards, and because the National Health Act has adequately provided for the creation of the hospital board, so it is no longer necessary for Chapter 6 to specifically make provision for the establishment of the hospital board. So these are the key reasons why we request the amendment. Now these powers that we request a parliament to consider for KJC are the following. The first is the power that determines the transfer of state patients from detention centers to health establishments pursuant to court orders that are issued into the Criminal Procedure Act. The second is the power to determine the transfer of state patients between designated health establishments once the order has been issued by the review board. The third is power to review the mental health status of state patients after 6 months from the date on which care, treatment and rehabilitation has commenced, and every 12 months thereafter. So these are the key areas where we seek for delegation. It's not for the whole act, but these specific functions. So currently, we're hoping that with these amendments, I mean, the delegation of these powers, that it increases the current administrative burden imposed by the DG, because this requires personal attention. Of course, we do have technical staff that deal with this, but that would require special attention that gets given to this. But also there are multiple reports that are submitted that need to be reviewed, and before final decision is made, would require that we get a technical input and to facilitate the transfer, because we don't want to delay transfer of patients, state patients. Because in most instances, these state patients would be transferred on the basis of an order that is issued by the magistrate. we hope that this will be in order. By way of illustration, I have to transfer about 173 new state patients, for instance, and to health establishments, but also process over 2,000. And this I have to personally do, because it's not a basic function. And including a review of periodic reports that are submitted 6 months after meeting and 12 months thereafter. So okay, it obviously is an important administrative process, but the turnaround time must be adhered to. And to avoid any delay, we are requesting that there be a delegation and that address this court order timely. We are hoping that this will be considered.
Thank you. Remember, that is the presentation from the director of the NRA. It sounds like very simple and straightforward, but it's all about delegation. I think now it's your turn to interrogate the department about what they want to do. And if you feel what they want to do is the right thing, then we'll take it from them and own it ourselves and make sure that we publicize it and make sure that quickly it gets passed, and Woodbridge is not going to have a lot of work on their shoulders. So that is number. Honorable, Honourable Judge, or two of you, you will start the I'm so sorry. Let me apologize a little bit. I woke up late. I didn't manage to put on my tie. My kids will always make up my tie. They're not there today because they're at school. So I really apologize. Next time I'll have a tie like that. Okay, sir.
The cricket preferably, yeah. Okay. Yes. Now, I want to welcome the presentation and say I fully agree with the submission of proposals from the department that delegation becomes very, very important so that we do not delay the transferring ill people to the relevant institutions. I like the word delegation because you also come the next layer and you empower them. Actually, somebody who does not delegate, I see we come in educating that person. And it's something that I do not agree with, to groom educator. Somebody must have some people fully qualified to help him or her. Now, the second issue here, you are saying chapter 8 is replaced by chapter 6. So I fully agree with that. That becomes a duplication. Therefore, it's not important. It can be done. We can approve that as a promise. You see, lastly, sir, when DG has to personally address these things, really, we are not utilizing our resources effectively. Therefore, you said it is very straightforward. I agree with you. Thanks.
Before you come on the board, I'm not sure if maybe you could help us and explain further, especially those power that you mentioned. There's a lot of legal jargon, the power to translate the second. I'm sure there's somebody who could explain. And the other one is that, you know, you've been doing this job, but where do the problems come in? So that you know what's happening with the policy. Because that's where most of the messages are. What's happening to the health, or I mean, what's happening to the health department there? But you can explain it as you can explain some of it. And the other one, which is very interesting, is that because the psychotic will become psychotic. And if he's not psychotic, he might be a medical person. That makes me to understand. I might have a problem which is functional. Now, what happens if I don't become mad? Not because I've got a functional problem, but because I've got an organic problem. Like if I'm trying to think of things like encephalopathy, I just look mad and I do things that are abnormal, or I've got epilepsy that can be handled. As I get somebody who's got a functional problem with schizophrenia. Maybe it's going to be explained in those questions, but let's get all the questions and then you can come in. And probably I think you brought them so that they could help you in discussing something. Another group of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. As far as the delegations are concerned, in order to speed up the process, I think that is a good thing, because delays are time consuming, they cost money, but more importantly, it affects the treatment and the condition of the patients as well, the people who are using the mental health care. I just want to ask a few questions. Yes, I'll write my question. Okay. Something that bothers me, if people are being removed from a prison situation into a hospital situation, I think there are tremendous implications. Prisons are geared to looking after the people, protecting them, and making sure that they are protected and that they protect other people. What happens when you get to a hospital? Because a psychiatric or mental hospital doesn't have provision for care for people. And many times people who suffer from these afflictions can become violent. We've read the newspapers about that. So what is in place? Or is there anything in place? Are the doctors, the nurses themselves, the caregivers there, vulnerable? So I think we need to look at that. I've been just doing a little bit of reading, trying to find out a bit more about this. So it's a vast field. I can't get to know everything. I don't think, and just can't. But I think there's also a difference between people who are mentally ill and those who have disability. And I wonder whether people should be treated in the same way. And I wonder about disability, whether people who, shouldn't fall under another act, but are they adequately covered? If one thinks of parents who have to be concerned about their children as people get older, and I happen to have a close friend who has a situation, what is going to happen to my child when I'm no longer there? What is going to happen to the money? Who's going to look after them? All those sort of things. I think that's different from people who have had mental health problems. But anyway, it's just from a prison to a hospital. Can we provide adequate care for them? And yes, you need to speed up the processes, but between the interim period, between hospital and going back to a prison perhaps, what do you do? And then I was also wondering about the hospitals that are under the SANDF. Are they also subject to the same conditions that you have in other psychiatric hospitals? I noticed on the board there, it says that there were no substantial comments received, although this bill was published for public comment in 20th of July 2012. So I think this is significant, because what I've been reading is that there are so many people who are depressed, there are so many people who are suffering from various types of mental illness, and perhaps studies don't want to accept it, or they don't even know. Has this got out to the public, to NGOs, to people who really are involved? And also, have we involved the hospitals and the professional people sufficiently? Because I'm just interested in why there has been no comment. Does that mean that this is a perfect bill? Or has it perhaps had certain aspects been overlooked? Chapter 8, you said you're going to withdraw in its entirety because it has... it's covered in Chapter 6. Now, I'm not sure about that. I haven't had a chance to study Chapter 8. Yeah. I don't know if we've been given access to it. Perhaps I may have missed it, but anyway. Yes, with the transfer and delegation, I think that's fine. But are all the other aspects that are covered in Chapter 8 fully covered in Chapter 6, so that we still have protection of the rights of those who receive the care and also those people who have to give the care? I think that's probably enough for the moment. I may come back with more. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna Shumba. They say it's also a treatment that you must always have the door open in that in case become a honorable note.
Thank you, Chairperson. I had a question on provinces, but the chair has covered it. And my question on prisoners, will they be prisoners underground? Because even if they're in a hospital, they're always under that. So is that going to be taken care of? And Gigi, there's so much on the table. Will you cope with that? And also, as we speak now, mental hospitals are they can have nice bodies, but somehow they are mentally dilapidated. How is that going to be dealt with in order to make them as decent as possible and behave as meaningfully as possible so that they get a good quality of health?
Thank you,
Mama.
The evilness, the mental, the functional mental problem, it has got to do with your culture. The culture plays a really important role. What I regard as madness might be normal for the particular culture. I think these are some of the things that there might be a lot of misdiagnosis because I believe in certain things and somebody doesn't believe in that and they regard me as mad. Okay, Honorable Mr. Khalid.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank PG for the presentation. But I have to really say that some of us cannot access our service, the parliamentary service, when we are outside. We have just triggered out this when we go to our offices. And I think this is an important thing which we should really be like workshop where it comes from, so that when we deliver it, we shouldn't deliver it on surface. We haven't dealt with it, and I'm happy it has been written, break it. You break me because I didn't know a thing, then I go back, I research, I learn, so that when I come back, I'm really fully aware of what we are intending to do. I think Chairperson, we are going to have a parallel discussion over this. Always people say that I'm addicted to primary health care. I don't know in the main bill. I mean, that is why I say that it is important that we should go back and read. But I don't know in the main bill. Does it cover the management of a mentally ill patient from the primary health care point of view? Because as I'm sitting here as a nurse, I have experienced that is a real tedious procedure to get, because this patient will never fly from home to hospital. They come to the for the primary health care. I would like to know if is it dictated and how is it dictated. Then I'm going to read. Then maybe I will see something around primary health care. I would like to know. How are you going to identify these people whom you are going to give power delegation? Who are these people? At what level? Because we do have local, the patient goes to stage at the end of the day. Then I will really specifically want to know whom are these people who are going to give this, and what is the criteria for selecting them? Is there any mechanism to appeal the decision of made by someone delegated by the head of department? I may be asking this question out of ignorance, as I have already said, but I would appeal the person. Let it not be the end. Let this be the beginning, so that when we, and then you can ask me about the issue of international, we have gone through Paris, irrespective that it's a small portion, and it will be an advantage, because it's not a big document. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I just remembered a couple of things that I forgot in the first round.
My colleague has mentioned something about primary health care, and I also wanted to say this. We've placed so much emphasis on primary health care, very correctly, but I am concerned that there's not enough money or staffing for primary health care or for mental health anywhere, really. So I think this is something we need to look at. What provision is there at primary health level for people who can identify problems? I think particularly of children. Sometimes people present with symptoms that if treated early can prevent something happening that is far more difficult. I think there is a gap here, and it's something we need to look at, but I'd like you to tell me about that as well, about the primary health care. Also, the ratio of staff to patients. We're putting, if it goes through, the patients will be going from a prison to a hospital. Do we have enough qualified staff? Doctors include psychiatrists and all the other levels I don't even know about, to care for these people. So we don't, I know prison isn't the ideal place for people either, but, you know, what are the conditions? As far as I know, prisons only have a 6-day, they don't have a full hospital. So this is really a very serious problem, and I quite agree that we need to have a further briefing on this so we can follow it. As I said, I'm not sure about Chapter 8, so I think we need to work into this in depth and that it shouldn't be rushed. And something that's been bothering me for a while since I've been in this portfolio, and I'm new to it, it has been said on a couple of occasions when we've raised something, oh, don't worry, we'll deal with that in the regulations. Now, I don't know that I've seen regulations. And if these regulations are so important that they can change things, shouldn't we have a look at those as well? Is this just the realm of the official? Thank you.
Thank you very much. You want to come back again, Honorable? Okay. Let's start with Memo today and then you'll come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are also talking about the mental health for those people who are in hospital. How are we going to do to those who are running around the street, sleeping on the stations, open checks? How are we going to deal with them? Because I'm afraid they will come back to us and say, we didn't cover them. And then the other issue is, the department should provide example of power or function that will be delegated by the head of department. And that the head of department regularly took it on review decision made by those who delegate power on his or her behalf, if not what? If yes, there is a system process for this. Thank you, Chairman.
I'm not sure whether it's like that in other countries. You know, the easiest diagnosis to make by everybody is to say somebody's mad. And sometimes if I'm sitting there because I'm poor, I might look guilty and not look normal, sleeping in the streets. For somebody it might be easy to say that this person is mad, taking the hospital, only to find that it's poverty that makes me to be there. It's other things. So, but I agree with you that that goes to Honorable Sahara's question, that who is going to be given his delegation and how are you going to make it? It's very easy to say somebody's mad. Yes, it's a question in psychiatry, but in any case, also
another. It's actually a follow up on what the teacher said. Oh no, okay. On what she said earlier on, that Healthcare Act 2002 provides the care and administration of property of the mental health. Can you maybe detail that? I really don't comprehend to which extent. When you talk about administration, can administration of property, which property are you referring to? To me, I'm not very clear on that. Thanks.
Okay. Because it's the first meeting this year, I'll allow to which to ask a lay person?
It's not a question, but it's a comment. It is one of the questions. We are here today discussing mental health care. I wonder how many people in the country, in the province, actually know about mental health. So what mechanism has the department, or is the department going to put in place so that people become aware of what mental health is, what is it that they can do, is it going to have brochures or whatever, so that, and especially on the mental health day, what is it that it is going to do, or what program it has before mental health day, so that they can lead to mental health day. Thank you.
I think it did, those are the concerns from the member. But if you listen to the questions are very broad in trying to understand what's going on. But yours has been very simple, that the amendment is about delegation, which is, unfortunately, there's a lot of problems in mental health care. So don't be surprised that these questions are coming. And in fact, though we understand what you want, and we don't think it's very difficult, but this is the time probably for the members to interrogate even the other things, because they impinge on what you wanted. So we'll allow you to respond to those questions.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you. Just by way of background, the questions that have been asked by Honourable Members are very broad. And they are not necessarily matters that are being raised in the bill. The bill is very specific about the amendments. The bill is about amendments to delegate specific functions, not for mental health care services. I was reading the object so the members can understand the object of the law. Mm-hmm. But the amendments that are presented are very specific to state patients. Now, state patients are persons that are classified by the court in terms of Section 77 of the Criminal Procedures Act. These are very specific. They are incarcerated, they are confined to prison, and they have been subjected to a psychiatric evaluation. And there's been a recommendation to the review board that they make an assessment, and that then becomes a court order by the magistrate. It's a very confined function. It's not about mental health issues generally. These are very specific people, and it's a very specific function. So what we are saying is that once the court order has been issued by the magistrate, we have to respond to that court order time. But we have to take into account recommendations of the review board. We have to look at the psychiatric evaluation reports and so on, and use that as a basis of then implementing the court order. I don't even think that it's optional. It's what the magistrate orders us to do as the director general to do, if I were to be more specific. So all that we are saying is that in the execution of that order, in the studying all the review reports, the reports of the review board, as well as the reports, the evaluation report, the evaluation report from the psychiatrist, in looking at all of that, for every single sick patient, a sick patient are those that are already in prison. It's not for every mental health care. Now, we have a strategy for mental health care, which I would suggest, if you allow us, we can have a separate presentation. But we are not interfering with the amendment of mental health services. We are not even talking about that. This one is very specific. It's about people who are state patients and who the court has instructed us to translate to our services. Now, in doing that translation, we have to consult the province so that they can establish whether the province will be able to accommodate them in our health establishments. In any event, if our health establishments cannot accommodate these patients, it means we have to wait in prison. But of course, it's something that maybe we can discuss and establish the way we work with correctional services and then there's our provincial facilities and so on. But I just wanted to say that the review boards are actually established by the provincial management executive committee, the members of the executive committee, the MEC. And this work is done in consultation with our provincial constitution. So I just wanted to give that that overview. But for the more general questions, I'm going to ask the colleagues to respond, but maybe we can request that we probably need a session where we can present the mental health strategy relative to this act, as well as some of the interventions that we're busy with. But we also, to try and facilitate this, we've appointed psychiatrists and allocated them to various institutions. But these are totally different for those who are assigned specifically to evaluate the same patients who are those who are subject to the Criminal Procedures Act. Okay, I'll ask the Professor Mezra to overview about some of the points and make the progress.
Thanks. I really just want to reinforce what the CEO has already said, and that the legislation is broad in terms of a whole number of different categories of users, including voluntary users, people with intellectual disability, what we call assisted users, involuntary users, and then the fairly small group of people called state patients, who are people who've committed crimes, appear before the court, and the court then decides that they are either unfit to stand trial or they didn't know what they were doing at the time of the offence. And so because the law says you have to have mens rea or intention when you commit a crime, these people cannot be said to have that. And so instead of sending them to a prison, they get sent for care, treatment and rehabilitation. Okay. So those specific people, as well as a smaller category of people who have been sent to prison and mentally ill prisoners, and then become so ill in prison that they can't treat them in the prison and need to be transferred. So this is only dealing with that small number of people. I say small, but we're still talking about, say, somewhere between about 3,000 and 4,000 people. So it's not insignificant. But once these people have been committed to a psychiatric institution, you've got to see whether they need to remain there. And that means you need reviews after 6 months and then every year afterwards, so that they don't stay in these hospitals forever. So the facility has to send a review, what they call a periodic report, to the National Department of Health. And at the moment, the Director General has to review each and every one of these reviews. And it's not really feasible. Whereas Ms. Pakati here, for example, is a skilled mental health care practitioner. If it was his delegation, he could then take that very seriously, review each one, and make recommendations. So I think that we're going to get a far better service rather than just getting some respite for the Director General. So we really do think that this is for better service, for better evaluation and services. So just to deal with the issues at hand, in terms of the Chapter 8, just to say that this is Chapter 8 of the 1973 legislation that was superseded by the 2002 legislation. Now, when we brought the Mental Health Care Act to Parliament in 2002, or leading up to 2002, the National Health Act had not yet been passed. So if we would have scrapped the 1973 Act in full, then for that period, until the National Health Act came in, we would have no board for these mental institutions. So we knew that this was about to come up. So we said, well, let's keep the 1973 Chapter 8 until such time as we have the board in terms of the National Health Act. And really, this should have come to Parliament almost immediately after the National Health Act was passed. It should have come in 2003 or 2004. So in fact, we've actually had almost double boards in terms of the 1973 Act, which haven't really been operating because the boards in terms of the 2003 National Health Act have been operating. So it's really an administrative issue, and I think that we can go back and examine it and so on, but I think that when you do that, you will find that the duties covered by the boards under the National Health Act are adequate, given that we have review boards set up in terms of the National Health Act, which do some of the functions which the hospital boards of the 1973 Act covered. I can go into more detail around those kind of things, but really what we're talking about is an administrative act, is an administrative issue. Just in terms of the provinciality of this, all the categories that I mentioned previously, such as the voluntary users, the involuntary users, the assistant users, are all done to provincial level. Okay. But for 8 patients, it was decided in 2002 to keep this at the national level, partly because not all provinces have facilities to keep these kind of patients. And it also relates to some of the questions about, are we sure that they have the correct protection and so on and so on. You can't just put them into any facility. It has to be a special facility. And at the time, and still now, not all provinces have such facilities. So in some senses, it's a bit like the central hospitals. It's so specialized that we need to make sure that it's distributed effectively with sufficiently skilled staff available to see to these people. Okay. So this is still national, but hospital boards, as Luigi said, are appointed by the NDC of provinces, and this is a small group of people who we think that still fall best under a national umbrella. And I also just want to reinforce what Luigi said. We would be more than happy to come and discuss mental health issues with Parliament. I think the issues between intellectual disability and mental illness, and should they be kept in the same facilities, what about primary health care, community, care for mental health? We love to come and discuss this. And in fact, the legislation does say that only if people cannot be treated at a primary care level or community level can you actually help them, or if they're dangerous to themselves or others. But I'm going into stuff now which really we can brief you when we come back if you invite us.
I think the target is not
DG Chairperson, I think for women and DG of substantively covered, I think the question is that confined, defined population, maybe that could go back to that. The Act comprehensively provides for all the other categories, voluntary users, assisted, involuntary, day sessions, and mentally ill prisoners. Each one of those categories is very clear how we should process the educators from primary health care level to tertiary. The Mental Health Care Act, in terms of the procedure of even prescribing to the head of department and to the DG about how to provide services, provides certain specific sections where it compels them to designate such facilities. Section 5 designates facilities where you treat, care for, and rehabilitate involuntary mental health care users. Section 41 of the Mental Health Care Act, which we're talking about, specific to state patients. Section 49 of the Mental Health Act deals with how you designate and provide for mental influence. Then due process and DG touch on that with those who come in conflict with the law. Due process in terms of Section 37, 76, 79 would have taken place in court. The court has ordered that the person who is not being incarcerated must provide mental health. That's the population we're talking about. The facilities have been designated. In the designation, we look at what type of professionals should be there. The security aspect, we understand, came in contact with the law. They conflicted. They are potentially dangerous, so we provided for that. The treatment procedures, the rehabilitation program, is very different in terms of how we provide the professionals from a general healthcare establishment. So that is careful. I think it will be welcomed to discuss the act all over again and look at the strategy in combination so that you understand. That's maybe to say that a number of times, even in court, we've had the experience of the act being evaluated again, had quite a number of court challenges. Overwhelmingly, the act has been found to be in line with the constitution. It's in line with what the National Department of Health needed to do in terms of transforming mental health services. That has been tested. Even recently, regarding those with intellectual disability, in terms of state patients, in fact, we've got a case coming up, dealing with that. What is coming out is that I think it's important to mention that even ourselves, we've had to relocate that special population of intellectually disabled people who then have offended whether we've got sufficient programs to look at them. Definitely, our view is that they do need some specialized programs for psychosocial rehab, because the general psychosocial rehab programs that we're offering to all populations may not be relevant for us. But within the designation of state patients, we provide for that category of state patients. Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, TJ. Take it back to your title. Thank you very much for not concentrating on the fact that we've gone a little bit astray. But that there's a reason why we've gone astray. It's because we've seen mental health services not being very good in South Africa. Hence, we've been going this direction. But I think that this is very key. And it's very specific. And then there's even gone an extent of explaining to us some of other things, which makes it very important that every certain day and a certain time in our presentation, we need to talk about mental health care in South Africa and in general. But we find time to do that. But as far as this one is concerned, it's very specialized and specific. And we understand. But I still have a problem. I know you are talking about a specific thing. And I think they involve psychiatrists to look at this data. But I started to think of orthopedic surgeons. You know, when an orthopedic surgeon sees a patient, even if the patient is dead, he won't see that the patient, he or she won't see that the patient is dead. You fix the bone and not that the patient is there after the bone is fixed. Now, I'm imagining the same situation with psychiatrists, that you won't even understand that this person is doing this thing because he's got chronic meningitis, or this person has got chronic epilepsy, and you don't usually consult physicians to say, is there another thing underlying that has caused the psychosis in this patient, rather than just saying it's a functional disease. I think that question it would be interesting for the members to know how many specialized units do you have in South Africa. I know some of the problems don't have. I know in the same case they used to have one in Cape Town. I'm not sure how many others, for the benefit of the members, you need to have more. Maybe if you could just go through those. I see there's only one hand before you come in. So, another Mr. Halidesha.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I would teach is for you to have closer, so that you make me understand what is the state patient. Because when I'm sitting here, when you say state patient, I know that every person who goes through our facilities, state facilities, I need him. But now, after you have explained, I understand that you could have to be saying that when you say state patient, this is what you are referring to. So that I can read your documents, even if you are not there, to explain to me.
Thank you, Chair. This is really a request. If maybe through Joe, we can get the principal at the moment. And then, secondly, it is very clear that it's just chapter 8 that you are reading. And that's it. Thank you.
Sorry, thank you. Okay.
I know that you're not wanting to do it, and we will come back, but I do want to answer your question specifically about underlying medical conditions and so on, and how the Act actually has tried to deal with this issue. One of the main changes between the previous Act and this one is introducing what we call a 72-hour assessment period. And I'm not talking about state patients. This is for anybody who you're going to treat without their consent and who's dangerous to self or others. They go into a general hospital for a period of 72 hours for a full assessment. And in that time, they should be picking up all these underlying medical conditions. And it's only after that that they then get transferred to a psychiatric hospital. So we were very aware, and I think you're absolutely right, that that is of concern, has been an international issue, which we then took care of in the act. With a state patient, they undergo a period of a maximum of 30-day observation. Okay. And in that time, it is incumbent on the people who are doing the examination to make sure that there's no underlying medical condition. So I think that it is reasonably well taken care of, although in practice it's not as good as the legislation. Okay. And then in terms of facilities, we are actually trying to move towards a more primary health care and integrated mental health system rather than based on psychiatric hospitals. So we are encouraging many hospitals, general hospitals, to have a psychiatric wing so that they don't have to go. So when you say perhaps, well, I will say we've got 16 psychiatric hospitals. You might say to me, that's far too little. I might say to you, that's far too much. Okay, so there's a debate around this issue. But in terms of your number, I think it's 16. Is that right?
The section 5 provides for the determination of psychiatric hospital. It also provided for that the wing in a general hospital be defined as a psychiatric hospital. It then provides a 7. So it's 64, it's the other way around, Prof. So the explanation is 64. And then for where we keep, we have served those facilities, where we keep state patients, because they require a different type of level of care and security. It's only 14 divided in the country. About half of those conduct the observations that Prof. Freeman is talking about. Also, the acuity of care change there, because when they are sent to us for evaluation, they come with a police officer to cut them throughout the 30 days. So SAPS or the South African Police has got their standard, which we had to comply with in the facilities where we conduct the court observation. So while they are state patients, the security becomes the responsibility of health. And in the 14 designated facilities, in terms of section 41, we have got sufficient capacity for security. And sufficient capacity for psychiatrists, sufficient capacity with the condition we have for psychosocial rehab, social workers, professional therapists. I have to say that maybe a comment from my side, it's been a long road for the Department of Health and the country since 1994. Up to the point promulgated the Mental Health Care Act in 2004. We have seen quite good improvements. For instance, when I talk about the 64 designated facilities, you will recall that we, in the past, we concentrated in providing mental health care in the specialized mental health facilities. It became either from our care level, got sent to the facility. By encouraging the lower level hospitals to build a unit for senior growth, and even the clinical practice improving access, take up to mental health care is improving. In fact, some examples in the facilities we visit the department, the psychiatrist will tell you that runs the facility in a level 2 hospital, that I last transferred the patient to the tertiary mental health facility 2 years ago. I've never seen them in, because they are able to identify them early, treat them early, and then the illness gets resolved quickly. It reduces institutionalization, the family closer can visit, it enhances the rehabilitation. These reports were brought forms, if you're interested to see what the PT was required to do in terms of the evaluation of state patients. Here to comment on things like the family being involved as part of the rehabilitation and reintegration and all that. So even the state patient facilities, it will become a major issue that will improve access and all that. But for now, we feel like it's quite, I don't know, even to call the staff, have meetings, are you doing things correctly and all that. Hence, we think that it's a low level, more technical person will be able to engage the health service function to improve the care.
Okay, just in summary, when we come back to present about overall mental health care, in particular the strategy, we'll also share with you some of the international development stuff. I've just come back from Geneva, and we're discussing a resolution on mental health, and which I think we'll also share with you. As what the international developments are in some of the obligations that South Africa has as a country in meeting those obligations and implementations of the resolution that has been recently passed. And I think they'll be finalized in this coming World Health Assembly. So there are all these things that I think as a country we would have to prepare for. But most of the things that I said we have already implemented as a country, we've come up with nothing. But really, on a daily basis, I review these requests, some are adopted, those unless they've committed murder or rape. I mean, these are the key areas of this amendment, and the psychiatric evaluations, they're subjected to the recommendations of the board, and the magistrate court order is what I implement. It's not even optional. Thank you.
Thanks. I'm sure we'll agree on that this is put forward and it's something that we can take and own. Though there are certain things that we need to go and look at ourselves. Obviously, we need to relook at the, especially that Chapter 8, as to what it entails and what it means by these delegations and this matter and the state nation. What does it mean? But it's very straightforward because it's about delegations. But we are looking forward to that bigger meeting where we'll be talking about mental health. This one's very simple, and I think the sooner we help the department, specifically the DG, to be able to have this delegation so that the work will continue. I think the sooner we can do that, the better. But we still have this job that the court will do. I must say, I'm not sure whether you heard of a couple who went to Bara. You know, Bara is very big, because I'm in Bara. And he went there to see his mother. And it was 5 to 7, the closing time was 7 o'clock. So when he got to the gate, it was 5 to 7, the watchman at the gate said, okay, you could run to the ward, and then we'll allow you to see your mother and come back. But when he got to the ward, it was already 7 o'clock. So the watchman, they said, no, you're not going to go in. It's time. And the guy said, good, wanted to give the mother. And then the watchman with the uniform started pulling him out, and he was pulling him. And the doctor wouldn't know English, neither Hutu nor Zulu. So a watchman pulling somebody who was in his private attire, and he just made the diagnosis. The doctor wouldn't know English or Zulu. That was a psychotic patient, let him be admitted, and he was admitted as a mad patient. And he stayed in the ward for 2 weeks because there were no psychiatrists. Every time the ward comes over, they say, I'm waiting a psychiatrist. And every time he wakes up, they give him atonin, he goes to sleep.
Oh.
When he comes to wake up, he says, he's stuck again. Can you give him another atonin? He gets it. So it's so easy to diagnose the psychiatric patient. This is why I was concerned. Remember, if that's the case, can we call this a day for this one and go for tea, and then we'll come back and interrogate the other big lawyers who are sitting at the bench there. We give you the date when you go to the meeting. So we'll go via the date. Thank you very much for the presentation. We've taken it, it's ours now. Just to complete the other one, what we're going to be doing now, we're going to be advertising that is, and we're going to ask for public comments and probably see how many want to come to us and tell us certain things about the bill, and after that it's going to be debated, public hearing, and then we debate it and it's gone. I think we'll try and make it to go very fast because we know the problem that here is. Stepping out of that one, now we're talking about the National Health Amendment Bill, which we've been working on. And we passed it in the National Assembly, and it went to the NCOP. There's some things that have happened there during that time. Now we'll ask Ugeri and Common Mavisi to help us and tell us what changes have happened while the department is here with us, and then we'll discuss those and then we'll move forward. This is the normal procedure that is done. So through you, Titi, we'll ask those two gentlemen sitting at the desk to be the ones who lead us on this one.
I'm
not
happy
to see you anyway. Perhaps we can see that. Especially when it's too dark, because it's this
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. The bill was passed by the NA and then sent to the NCOP with the amendments right now, and then it was regulated by the end of last year. And the committee then finally, the Lake Committee and Special Services finally agreed to the changes to certain amendments from all the provinces, and the provinces unanimously agreed to the changes. The changes that are proposed or that have been included in the bill, in the revised version of the bill, are mostly of a technical nature, so it's not substantive. There's nothing that affects the substance of the bill. Also, well, like I said, all the provinces were unanimous. And also, what has happened in terms of Monavisi and myself have picked up three spelling mistakes in the bill. But what will happen is I will then discuss that after the department has presented the NCOP changes to the bill, and then you can proceed from there.
Thank you, Kevin. Let's allow the development then, or Monavisi or whoever.
I'm delicate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, with my colleague in Legal Services. As I won't go into a lot of detail through the background, because I think everyone here knows. Maybe listen to Jessica before she presents the amendment to mention that we actually participated in all the provincial processes, including the public hearings. So we divided ourselves and the teams went to every single province. And I just wanted to mention that because it was quite important also to hear the comments and in different provinces and the issues that were raised. And it was quite an interesting process. I thought I should raise that maybe before she came.
So as a result of this process, as you can see on the light bullet there, that the negotiating mandates were finalised. The NCOP adopted the bill with the amendments from the Benches Immersion in December 2012. And I'll go briefly now through what those amendments are. The definition of the hall has been amended. Chairperson, would you like me to refer specifically to conference of the bill or just to read it? It does go through the bill section by section and clause by clause. So if the members have the bill in front of them, I think it should be fairly easy to go. So the definition in the
that I said members don't have the bill. Do you have the bill in front of them or not? Oh, you do have it. Okay.
So at the very beginning in the section of definition, the definition of the board has been amended to mean the Office of Health Standards and Compliance Board established in terms of Section 79A. So that's just a terminology question. The definition of the environment for health practitioner in paragraph C that was in the people in paragraph C has been deleted but it has been removed. You will see when we get to the definition of the environment for health practitioners that what was in the definition is now there under the section on environmental health inspection. Consequent changes have then been a number because of the deletion of that section. In clause 5 in section 79, section 3 has also been, subsection 3, sorry, has also been removed and has been shifted to the end in the section relating to the issuing of regulations. And when we get to that section, I will outline why it was shifted. In section 79A, the heading has been changed to the establishing of office. That is one of the areas where the State Law Advisors and Parliamentary Legal Advisor have picked up the committee may feel that the heading is actually an error because it says establishment of office rather than establishment of the board of the office. The subsection 1 now has been, a new subsection 1 has been inserted to state that the board is hereby established because that statement was missing before. There have then been some subsequent numbering amendments, and the other change here is that in accordance with the CFMA, if a body has a board, the board is the accounting authority. In the previous version, the B version, it stated that the CEO was the accounting officer. So this is just a correction for legal compliance. Section 79B has been amended to include nursing in the skills, in the prerequisites, the composition of the board. So it had a number of areas that were actually highlighted. The suggestion was that nursing should be added as one of the skills needed on the board. There was also a proposal to amend the term period with the word term, which was felt to be more correct. And in section 79H, which deals with the relationship between the board and the role in the appointment of the chief executive officer, the roles of the minister and the board were changed in that the NCOP felt that it should be the board that signs the performance agreement. That's section 3B of 79H, advises on the removal, that is subsection 4, and advises and appoints someone to act in place of the CEO. So it should be the board that does this in consultation with the minister rather than the minister in consultation with the board. That is what is on that slide. 79A. This is the result of making the board the accounting authority. So the designation of the CEO as accounting officer has been removed from section 79A, paragraph A, section 1. There are two subsections that have been inserted into 79I. Under the functions of the chief executive officer. That is to reflect the responsibility of the chief executive officer to implement or enable the implementation of the recommendations of the OMBAT. So section 4 compels the CEO to take appropriate action to ensure implementation, and section 5 allows the CEO to seek the intervention of designated person in the bill. Section 5 would actually shift it from the section of the functions of the OMBAT, because it itself is related really to the function of the CEO. So it makes very specific that the CEO has particular responsibilities in relation to findings or influencing the findings of the OMBAT. Section 80 is about the appointment of health officers and inspectors. That led to a lot of discussion in the provincial hearing. Part of it is the way that provinces deal with environmental health officers seems to vary. The consensus was that, in fact, environmental health officers are actually already appointed in a normal way as staff members. What the bill makes provision for is that they should be designated to exercise the powers as specified in the bill. So the word appointed has been replaced with the word designated, wherever it appears, because environmental health officers are already staff members. Section 81, the including of and is because another paragraph has been inserted, section 81, subsection 3, a D has been inserted there, which states, clarifies that the ombuds reports to and is accountable to the minister, because that was considered unclear in the previous version of the board. And this is in accordance with the state law advisors did a review of the situation of similar such bodies. Section 81A, section 10, is the section that has been shifted to under the functions of the CEO. So that was the one that says that the CEO must seek the intervention of the minister, the minister or the new minister, head of the municipal council for intervention. That has now been shifted under the CEO because it specifies the function of the CEO, not actually the function of the ombuds. And therefore the numbering has consequently changed. And section 81B, previously the B version stated that the ombuds needed to provide the report to the CEO for inclusion in the report of the office. It now states that the ombuds must provide the report to the minister for aiding in Parliament. So a more direct line. Section 82A is the section on non-compliance. That's on page 11 of the D version. There was a lot of concern raised about the statement that the office could impose a fine of 10 million rand. And the suggestion from members of the National Council of Provinces were to replace it with a phrase which empowered the minister to actually publish in the Gazette what such a fine should be. So it reads, impose on that person to help establish a fine as determined by the minister in the Gazette from time to time, rather than a strict statement of a 10 million rand fine. The musician that was originally under the definition of the environmental health officer is now reflected in section 83 on environmental health investigations on page 12 as subsection 5. And it was in the definition, it now specifies there that only a health officer registered as an environmental health practitioner in terms of and against the provisions may exercise the function, the powers as conferred by the section. So that's why the definition, it was no longer a definition, but it's reflected here. We then move on to clause 6, which is on page, there were no other alterations in the subsequent section. The clause 6 on page 15 refers to the amendment of section 90 of the Principal Act, which is about the issuing of regulations. And the insertion of subsection 1A was the subsection that was originally under the function of the office, stating that the minister could issue different types of norms and standards for different types of health establishments. But we thought that that related really to the issuing of regulations. So that was shifted into this clause 6, which amends subsection 90 of the Principal Act. And it states that most of the what was there is as it was, but under E, it's stating that the minister can issue after consultation with the relevant regulatory authority. So that has been inserted, and the remainder of the provision was shifted from where it was under section 79. The clause 7 is simply the amendment of the arrangement of section, and that would also be effective if committee notes the heading of the section of the office is actually repeated. It's repeated here as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Thank you. But by the way, I said most of us are getting it for the first time, so I'm not with it. But it doesn't matter. Can we give over to Gary?
Thank you, Chester. As Dr. Marshall has pointed out, there are three topographical errors in the bowl as received from the NCRP. The first error is on page 2 of the bowl, in line number 8 in the definition section. In line number 8, opposite of us, our standards combined. So an S needs to be added there. The next one is on page 79A, the heading in line number 40, it should be establishment of the board, or of board. And then the last one then is on page 16, in line number line number 19, it should be establishment of board as well, instead of establishment of office.
Is it on the first one? Which
is? It's on page number 2, check, but it's not the number. So it's literally when you open up, it says board on the page over here. And then the following one is on page number 4, chairperson, in line number 40. Instead of office, it must be board, that's a heading. Yes, not the office, that's great. And then there's one on page number 16, in line number 18. Establishment of office be changed to establishment of board. So I have already approached the National Assembly Table staff to request an opinion, because what happened in Rule 275 of the National Assembly rule says that a bill referred to the National Assembly Committee may not be amended if an amended bill is received from the Council. I went to the NA Table staff to request an opinion on how we should proceed. I've been informed that the chairperson needs to write a letter to House Chairperson, Mr. Farley, requesting an official advice from the NA table staff. So what I will be doing by the end of this week is writing a letter on behalf of the chairperson that will be directed to Mr. Farley to request advice on how the committee should proceed, given that there are technical changes, there literally are typographical changes that need to be affected to the bill, on how to proceed, because the rules are quite clear that the NA committee cannot amend, or even the House cannot amend a bill if it is amended and it's been received from the NCRP. So I will be writing that letter, and then the chairperson can sign, and we'll then proceed from there.
Members, as that the build of the amendment, and as I said, most of us are seeing this for the first time, and we've been given it to very straightforward, except for who get the less complicating things, it's really complicated our lives. So what I would suggest, without discussing it, I would suggest that we take this bill and look at it and read amendments, and read them comparing with what's happening. In the meantime, we'll be waiting for that advice that is going to be coming from the House here, and then we'll take it from there. So we'll have another meeting. In any case, I don't think we'll be able to adopt it, even if we were to adopt these changes. It was going to be very difficult because of what it did offending from Mukere, and secondly, I don't think we have a quorum that would do that. So I make this request that we take it home, we look at it, even though that I'm not here, we should make sure that they get the copy so that they can look at that. And then we're going to quickly with the secretary and make sure that we sit down and relook at everything and adopt it. Is that okay?
Okay.
I'm happy you in
the thing is that you are going to be active for classic and those are the changes you are requesting through Mr. Mansouri and these people and the chair and
I'm looking at it, let me test my understanding. My understanding is that there are certain things that have been suggested by the NCLT and the provinces, which have been read by Dr. Moshan, which we know now, but it's something that we need to look at and understand exactly what do they need. And then that's one part. The second part is that there are these topographical changes that are not really related to the OP, but it's something that has been picked up, which is going to need an advice from the National Assembly as to how do we handle it. So those are two separate things. But one is trying to make sure that when we relook at the whole thing and adopt it, it must cover both things. The other one is a very simple one. It's just going for ourselves, going to it and reading it and applying our mind to it. The other one is going to depend on the chair of chair, what would be the advice that is coming. And then when we've got those, we'll sit down and adopt it as a committee. Is that clear?
Thank you, Chairperson. That is correct, Member. There are two sets of changes. One is the topographical, which I referred to. The letter will then go to Mr. Follick, the House Chairperson. And the second set of changes are the ones that are proposed by the NCLP. Those are the ones that the members have to apply their minds and see whether they agree or don't agree. And then that will then be discussed at the next meeting when we're going to the floor again. Should the members not agree to those changes, that will then the bill will then be referred to a mediation committee. And then there will be a separate process. The mediation committee is made up of members from both the NCLP and the National Assembly. And then they will discuss and debate the changes and hopefully come up or agree to certain amendments. So that's a separate process once the members have applied their mind.
Thank you. Yes, I just want to check that change that you referred to in line 8. I think you mentioned something about an S, but it's actually, it was written as complaint board and it's meant to be compliance board. So that is actually the error.
No.
On the page.
No, it's twofold.
Compliance board. I'm saying that should be compliance.
No, it's both. First, the standard before the compliance. So the standard now, it's a standard, it should be standard. That's an S that is missing.
Okay.
Secondly, in the beginning, in the original bill, it was complaints. Now it's changed to compliance.
Compliance versus complaints. If I was just checking.
Which value is that one?
Well, now I've got you right here. But it's fine as long as it's
It should be. It should be DMM. It is still 2011, but the version that we have, it must be 2014. It might be there. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You want to say something else?
No. Not sure.
Members, can we take it that we are okay and we'll be told when we're going to have a meeting to discuss? Can we take it that we call it today? For the members, we are going to let your consequences because there's no problem. For the department, it is back to work as this fed. That's a small thing. I got an invitation from
a conference of African Society of Foreign Businessmen. I'm not sure what they are saying is that they have invited the department, but they haven't had a response. Maybe I'll give you the notes so that you could have a look at it. Members, thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for traveling from wherever you travel.